privilege to be here this week, and you men have given me something. I appreciate what God gave you in order to give me. Song of Solomon, chapter 2. I am the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valleys. As the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with a great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. I remember years ago as a young boy, and I'm really not that old, but I remember I had sisters who were older than I, and back in the 40s, and I was just a young kid in school, but I remember they had a song back then, and I don't know why through the years that song always stuck with me. After I got saved, began to read the Bible, and I found out that the world's just a thief anyway. Most of the things they have is they've gotten originated from the Word of God. Like Dr. Bob Jones says, every bad thing's a good thing twisted. But I remember that song that they used to have back then, "Don't Sit Under the Apple Tree with Anybody Else But Me." How many of you remember that song? Yeah, there's a few folk here. That's a Bible origin verse. The Lord doesn't want you to sit under the apple tree with anybody but him. That's what he says in that verse. But anyway, verse 4, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that you stir not up, nor awake my love till he please. The voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roar of young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Father, we thank you for what we heard last night and today, and what has been given this week here. Thank you for the word of God. Bless these men. Bless these tonight and our few closing minutes together. We'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Could I direct your attention to verse 9? I'd like to speak just a few moments tonight about windows, if I may. Looking out the windows. That's the context of the verse now in verse 9. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. Windows have a threefold purpose in a building. First of all, they light in. They allow light into a building. A building is very dismal without... first building I ever built is a church building. We planned on adding to and putting something on top. We didn't have any windows in the building. It'll change the complexion of a building if the building doesn't have windows. Another reason for windows in the building is to ability to view the outside. I like to go to the window, look outside. My wife has a bird feeder outside the window. We enjoy watching the birds. I can see people walk by. You notice folks coming in. Windows still allow you to look outside. Windows also, in some parts of the country, allow you to enjoy the fresh air. Nice weather, so just comfortable to raise that window. And if you don't live in a small, covered area, it's just good to allow the fresh air in sometimes. So windows have a real purpose. Windows is a word. They have different meanings to folks. For instance, to an aviator, it means an opening in an overcast. A pilot looks for an opening. He's above the clouds, he looks for an opening. He's below the clouds, he's going up, he looks for an opening in the clouds. To an astronaut, a window is a window of reentry. Astronauts out there in the space shuttle, they have to hit that window of reentry. If they miss it just a little bit, they bounce off that atmosphere and they're gone, they're lost. And so that window is very important to an astronaut, to a computer person. And by the way, I'm going to hold out to the end. I don't even know how to turn a computer on. Bless God. I'm going to hold out to the end. They tell me a window in computer is just an easy way of accessing a program, but be that as it may, windows are important. And we'll look at windows in the Bible. The Bible has a lot to say about windows. You remember when God was ready to send the flood and he had Noah build that ark? Genesis chapter 6, you find the first mention of a window. I'm convinced the Bible doesn't say exactly, but it must have been directly in the top. There's a reason for that, just so Noah would look straight up, keep his eyes pointed in the right direction. So that window was in the top. There's only one. I find also in Genesis chapter 7 and Isaiah chapter 24, the Bible talks to me about windows of heaven being opened for judgment. Genesis chapter 6, God opened the windows of heaven, fountains of the deep, but the windows of heaven poured out a great deluge. Isaiah talks about the windows of heaven being opened in judgment. I find in Genesis chapter 26, a window saved a man's life. Remember that heathen king of Abimelech? One day he was looking out the window, and if he hadn't been, he had died. But looking out the window, he saw Isaac sporting with Rebekah. And God just impressed upon his heart that man had a wife. That woman was his wife. And his life was spared because he was looking out a window. And he said to Isaac, why didn't you tell me? If, something had happened to your wife, God would have killed me. God would have brought distress upon my kingdom. Windows saved your life sometime. I find in 2 Samuel chapter 6, I find someone looking on the wrong side of the window. Remember Michael, wife of the king, David bringing the ark back to Jerusalem, city of David. And there was that king out there dancing before the ark, having himself a time, acting like a bunch of folks acting here this week. The problem with Michael, she was on the wrong side of the window. She should have been out there with dancing with him. Her trouble was she was on the wrong side of the window. Sometimes folks get on the wrong side of the window. Be sure you're on the right side when it comes to business with God. I find where some folks are thrown from a window. I think of Jezebel in 2 Kings chapter 9. Here comes old Jehu driving furiously into the city. He says, "Messenger, are you coming in peace?" "Yeah, I'm coming in peace." "Throw her down." She lost her life out of window. Windows would be important in your life. Cost you your life. I find in 2 Kings chapter, how about Jeremiah chapter 9? The Bible tells me in verse 21 that death comes up into a window. It just sneaks in on you sometime. You can bolt your doors if you want to. Death will sneak in on you. No one marks the calendar and says, "I'm going to die tomorrow at 12 o'clock. It doesn't happen that way unless you're working with Dr. Kevorkian. It's our Kevorkian, I guess his name is. I guess there's been times I've been in the pit, brother, that I felt like calling Dr. Kevorkian. But death will sneak in the window on you if you're not careful. The Bible tells me in Joel chapter 2 that a thief comes in the window. You can bolt your door and lock your doors, but that thief knows how to get in your house. It's amazing how vulnerable we are, really, and we have all kind of bolts and, you know, deadlocks and all the rest, and all the thief has to do is just push in a pane in your window, that's all. I mean, everything you've got, you can lose just overnight just because of a window. Like what Brother Hugh said, you can lose a lot of things in just a moment. Someone will come through your window and get it. Steal your testimony, steal your home, steal your church. Thief could be in a window and you. Doesn't have to come in a door. Sometimes we're busy putting bolt locks, deadlocks on the door and not paying attention to the window. I find in Acts chapter 20, Eutychus. Remember what happened to him? He fell out of the window. You ever stop to think he fell the wrong way because he was more out than he was in? If he'd have been leaning toward the preacher, he had fell to the floor, wouldn't have hurt. But he was leaning away from the preaching, fell out and broke his neck. A lot of folks lean away from the preaching. So if you're sitting in the window, be sure you're leaning the right way. So when you fall, you don't fall very far. It's easy to get back up again. I find in 1 Samuel chapter 19, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, there were two people in the Bible who escaped by a window. Remember David? Michael helped him escape from King Saul, her father, out a window. I find the Apostle Paul was let down in the basket out of a window, out of Damascus, saved his life out a window. I find in Joshua chapter 2, and who doesn't know that story? A cord, a scarlet cord hanging out a window. Brought the salvation not only to a lady, but her entire household. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for that scarlet cord tonight. I've got a window tonight that's got a scarlet cord out of it. And when the Lord comes, like our preacher was just talking about a few moments ago, when he comes, that scarlet cord's there, and everything inside that house will be all right. Malachi chapter 3, good exhortation. God said, "Prove me, and I'll open the windows of heaven, pour out you a blessing you're not able to stand." It's amazing how we don't prove God. There's one thing God likes, it'd be improving. He said, "Go ahead and prove me. Try me. Just go ahead. You know, just step out there. Let me walk in the water. Okay, come on. So many of us never ask him, "Lord, can I come to you?" We ought to try it sometime. Test God of your finances. It's amazing how it becomes our God, isn't it? Our security. That's why God touches that purse so often. Our dependency ought to be in God, not on mammon. Sometimes you ought to give everything you've got just to see whether God will do anything or not. And could I say in Isaiah chapter 54, God talks about Israel when he restores Israel. You know what he says about a window? He says, "I'm going to make your windows of agate." He said, "I'm going to make you beautiful windows." He said, "When I'm finished with you," he said, "you're going to have windows of agate. Look at the beautiful windows here. I wait till you see the house of Israel restored. In fact, God calls restored Israel a virgin. Can you imagine that? After that old adulterous prostitute wife of his, when he gets done cleaning her up, he calls her a virgin again. And he said, I'm going to put you in the house. I'm going to put agates in your windows. Only God can do that. That's a marvelous grace of God. But quickly, real quickly, let me point you in the direction of this story. Here was Solomon coming after his sweetheart. You see, I'm convinced that this is the Shunammite that took care of the old man King David before he died. And while she was taking care of King David, she retained her purity, of course, just a young lady. They had searched all over the kingdom and found her. She came and took care of that dying king. And during the course of those days and weeks and months, Solomon fell in love with that young lady. Come time for her to go home. She went back home, and her sisters, her haughty sisters, said, ah, you think you're better than we are. You've been up to the king's house. You think you're better than we are. And they, because she was the youngest of the sisters, they put her out in the field of labor. And she had to take care of their vineyard. But old Solomon's heart never got away from that young girl. And so he went looking for her. But you know what? A wonderful thing? Her heart never got over him either. She never got over him. I don't know what passed between them, why they was all pure, of course, but I don't know what passed between them. But there was something there that locked their hearts together. And so we come to this Song of Solomon here. And all of a sudden, you know what happened? She was looking out the window. And when she went to the window and looked out the window, you know what she saw? She saw her lover out there. She saw Solomon out there behind the wall looking through the lattice of the garden. And you know what he was doing? Look at the verse says in verse 9. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind the wall. He looketh forth at the window, showing himself through the lattice. You know what he's looking for? He was looking to see if she was looking out. The world had a song some years ago. Remember that song? I was looking back to see if he was looking back to see. That's it. She looked out the window, and she saw him peeking through the lattice. It's like this. I want to see if she... looking out for me. He was looking forth at the window. At the window. Let me give you three things real quickly. You realize our life is made up of a house of time. And in our house of time, God just fills it with a lot of windows. Windows of opportunities. We call it windows of fate. Fate. And all these windows, and we're able to look out and light in and all the opportunities come along. We apply it to the things that God illustrates in the Bible about windows, and all of those are in our house frame, house of time. I'm thankful for windows. Not only that, the main purpose of our windows is just to look for the Lord Jesus Christ. He put us in a house of time, filled up full of all kind of windows of opportunity, and they're just a lookout to look for Him. We're spending our time looking out the window. We find, first of all, that He comes to woo with His love, and He comes to win us to Himself. And I want you to know He's coming literally again. But in the meantime, while we're looking out the windows, you know what you see? If you really look out the windows of opportunity, when you're down in the pit, as Brother Jimmy preached about it, wherever you are, if you're looking out the windows of your opportunity, whether they're good or bad, you're going to see someone looking back through the lattice work at you. You want to go see. He wants to see if you're looking out, to see if you're looking, if He's looking in. You got to spend your time looking for Him. You got to just look out the windows. Bless God, I had a terrible experience last week. Yeah, but I was looking out the window. You know what I saw? He was looking in to see if I was looking out. We got to spend our time looking out the window. It'll do something to your heart. Her heart was drawn. She says, the voice of my beloved, behold, He cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. Verse 10, my beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Every time you see Him through that window, you see Him looking through the lattice back at you, you know what He says? Rise up and come away. Rise up and come away. One day we're going to get on out of here. He's just on the other side of the wall, and He's just on the other side of the lattice work. The question is, are you looking out the window? And there's a third thing about that. Too many folks have shutters on their windows. Too many folks have shutters on their windows. I mentioned this morning a message in traveling in Europe about the doors. I noticed something about their windows. All over Europe, both those folks put shutters on the windows. They're not decorative things they tack on the side of the wall like we do here in America. They have operable shutters. and most of them are middle ones that they can pull from the top down. And those folks are paranoid. I mean, Europeans are paranoid people, and they have a right to be. I mean, the armies have swept back and forth across the land over the centuries, and every time they build a house, they build it because they're afraid. The shutters. You know what shutters do? Shutters prevent the light from coming in. It was a problem a lot of folks have in their windows of opportunity, in their house of time. They put shutters on their windows, and it keeps the light of God's love shining in under them. They just walk around in darkness all the time. They can't look out. No light coming in. And not only that, shutters will just prevent them from seeing out. No view of eternity. They walk around in their house of time. They got their windows, but the shutters are all pulled. They can't see out. Everything's no desire of eternity, no ability or even desire to see the Son of God, the Lamb of God. Everything is just dark to them. Looking out the window. Let me close by saying that those of you who knocked on doors on visitation, ever knock on a door and no response, but you see a curtain move? You know they're looking out. You can't look out the window without people know you're looking out. They'll see you. They'll see you. And if we as God's people who live in this house of time, filled with windows of opportunity, windows of faith and providence, we spend our time looking out the window. You know what our neighbors and our friends and people we meet, you know what they'll be aware of us? We're just looking out the window all the time. Every time you see you, you're looking out the window. You're looking out the window. You spend some time in the hospital, and your friends say, "How are you doing?" Say, "I'm doing just fine." Well, how can you say you're doing just fine? Well, this can only last so long. And this too shall pass. Pretty soon they realize you're looking out the window. You say, "I've got a reason for looking out the window. I've caught sight of him just on the other side of the wall. And he's looking back at me, and he's looking through the lattice. And he's saying, 'Rise up. Come away with me.' And one of these days, I'm going to run out the door, glory to God, and I'm going home. No more looking out the window. It's been a joy to be with you. God bless you."